better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer for those anytime easy drinking occasions.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team that's on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
Before we get into the Barry Odom conversation, Eddie in Clarksville wants to touch on Casey Martin and Heston Kerstedt. Eddie, good morning. It's been a minute. What's up, man?
Good morning, gentlemen, and good morning to this fan base. I'd like to say, let's let it rip. I want to give a congratulations. You know, I coined the phrase Hog Delight a few years back on the Bo Manley show. And what is Hog Delight? It's just a performance by our athletes that represent our football football, basketball, and baseball programs. And certainly these two young men deserve everything that they get. I mean, Kerstedt, what can you say? What a player the Orioles are going to get in Mr. Kerstedt. And let's get to Casey Martin. You know, I don't know what kind of money is involved with Casey there being the 87th pick overall by the Phillies. But listen, that young man has unlimited potential. And you put it across the plate, middle of that plate, he could slam it home. Knock it out of the park. And let's get to Coach Van Horn, the conductor of this baseball program. He's consistent every year. And what a recruiting tool. He can go into the living rooms of these recruits and sit in the living room and get a young man and say, get aboard the whole baseball Hall of Fame. I'll put you in the majors. And how many players have we put in there? I mean, it's year in and year out. What are we, number two overall in the country? I'm putting players in the majors. And, I mean, what's eluded Coach Van Horn is, you know, he just hadn't won the national title yet. But, I mean, he's been knocking at the door, and sooner or later he's going to bring that coveted title back to the best fan base in the country. And, by the way, in 2018, what was Bomb Stadium voted the best baseball stadium in all America? And when this baseball Hall of Fame is rolling, when it's really clicking, and you talk about hosting a regional or a super regional, is there a better baseball atmosphere in the entire country? And now let's get that leads to being contagious. I think the blueprint on Coach Buss is on the same thing. He's going to follow the blueprint of Coach Van Horn. I mean, look at him. You're already seeing his efforts in recruiting. And look at this basketball. I tell you this, I'm from 1989 to 1995, under Coach Nolan Richardson, I would argue we were the best basketball program in the country. And we're fixing to get there sooner than later under Coach, but he's fixing to take off because he's bringing the recruits in, and what is he selling? I can put you in the NBA because I've coached in the NBA. Now, that's contagious. Now let's get to Coach Pittman and Kendall Brown, and you just touched on Barry Odom. And I tell you one thing, our defense is fixing to get a lot better because with his experience, he's fixing to bring, number one, mental toughness to this football program and this defense. That's something we've lacked over the last half dozen years. And I just think for the fan base, stay as always, stay aboard the Hawk train because I'm excited over the next several years and all three of our big three sports, our football, our basketball, and our baseball is fixing to take off like it's never took off before. So stay aboard the Hawk train because I hear the bells ringing and the whistle blowing. Thank you for taking my call.
Eddie, appreciate it. And we'll blend that right in to the Barry Odom conversation. I know we're talking.
I don't know what he drinks in the morning to get that hype, but I want some of it.
Yeah, some extra shot of coffee or what?
Double espresso.
What's this? Yeah, the espresso that you put in your coffee. I'm not a coffee guy, so I don't really know what the extra stuff, what the good stuff to put in there is. But he's exactly right about a couple different programs.
Kahlua.
Yeah, that's one you can
Bailey's
do. Irish. Yeah, I was gonna say make it an Irish coffee real quick. But he's got a good point about not just Eddie. Now I don't know if everyone listening right now has a level of Eddie's excitement about the baseball,
about
the football, and about the basketball program. But you are excited about what Dave Van Horn's been doing for quite, and it's not just this year. It's been what he's been doing over time with the Arkansas baseball program. Now, since just in the past year, since Eric Musselman's been here, you're really excited about which way the basketball program is trending. And then as far as the football program is concerned, year one under Sam Pittman, Barry Odom, Kendall Briles, you're excited to see what the projections look like with that team. And on the note of Barry Odom, let's talk about a few attributes he brings to the table. And if you want to call in like Eddie or text in, 877-377-6963. And one of the conversations I want to have with Coach Odom coming up is the fire that's still inside him. I don't know about any of you listening, but I've been let go from a job before. Mm-hmm. And because of that particular instance, it's happened twice in my entire life. Once was like within the company, I got let go for a certain job. The other one, I was let go completely. And all that did was motivate me to get better in that particular area and, more importantly, prove them wrong. Because I think vindication is a huge part of when you're let go, when you're fired, when you're dismissed from a certain job, to prove them, hey, you probably should have kept me. You probably should have given me a raise, mm-hmm. or whatever the case may be. Barry Odom, fired from his alma mater, Missouri, gets a job at Arkansas, who happens to be, and I say air quotes, a rival of Mizzou, the team you get to play in the final game of the season in Kansas City. You betcha. Now, he'll tell you that every game's important. The first game on their schedule against Nevada is the most important one. But I guarantee you, Tommy, he circled that Missouri game time and time again when it comes to playing his old team, the Tigers.
I want to ask him when he joins us in an hour and a half or so about, you know, he coached his final game at Missouri was down at War Memorial against Arkansas. And just the irony of the fact that he got a win in that game, makes that team bowl eligible. They dismiss him, and then he finds himself on the other side of the field, so to speak, with the other guys pretty short order. I mean, it was pretty easy to see Arkansas was going to have a change. They were already with an interim coach. Question was it going to be Lonnie moving forward or bring someone else in? Because Chad Morris was already gone by that point. So I find that ironic, I guess. It's not coincidence. It's irony that he won against Arkansas, gets fired, and now he's at Arkansas. So did the thought ever cross your mind that was even a possibility? Maybe we can have that conversation, see what his thoughts are on that.
Many Missouri fans were frustrated in the fact that he was let go because, for the most part, he was really well-liked in Columbia. And so that news, especially after getting to bowl eligibility, especially after beating Arkansas, was kind of perplexing and surprising to a lot of people in Columbia and fans out there.
You've gotten to the point as a program, you're getting coaches fired after they beat you. I mean, that's how bad the program's gotten. It's one thing if you lose to Arkansas, it's understandable to get fired. Now they're firing coaches after a win because you didn't win by enough, I guess.
Because in 2012, was it Rich Brooks or Joker Phillips that got let go after that season at Kentucky?
That would have been...
Because that was the running joke.
Rich Brooks, I believe.
Okay, because that was the running joke. If you lose to Arkansas, you can get canned. And
because Gene Chizik did. And,
as well.
Yeah.
So that's one of those things where if Arkansas is down in the dumps and you lose to the Razorbacks, that's not a good sign.
Yeah.
And it's really for any college football team. If you lose to a lesser team, especially as lesser as Arkansas was in 2012 or they were in 2018 or 2019, not a good look for any college football coach. Now, what Barry Odom also brings to the table, and there's a bunch of different attributes, and again, we'll keep going with these, is he has a feel of the layout of the conference. Now, he was the head coach of an SEC East school, but he still played a lot of West schools over the years, and he's played a lot of SEC quality SEC football teams. You're not pulling a guy from the Big Ten. You're not pulling a guy from the ACC or the Pac-12 or the Big 12. You're pulling a guy that's been in this conference for quite some time, and that's important. Now, I think you're excited to see what Kendall Briles could do with his offense that's had success in the Big 12, in Conference USA, at FAU. But you're a little kind of curious, I don't know if worried's the correct word, but you're a little curious to see if his offense can translate to the Southeastern Conference. You're not as worried about Barry Odom, maybe because of the personnel, but not from the coaching standpoint, because he's been able to have success in this league.
Yeah, and you mentioned his head coaching time at Missouri. He's also, I don't know how many years he's the coordinator there for a while, but played, as you said, a lot of Western Division. I think it's interesting how he's put his staff together, you know, getting Derek LeBlanc from
Kentucky,
who's coaching the defensive line, and they've really noticed some things. Brad Davis, obviously on the offensive line, not on that side of the ball, but the way he's put this staff together with Ron Cooper and that defensive side to really fit and get the right pieces, I think him and Sam Pittman have done a nice job there. I'm just interested to see him coach and see if they can take a roster that needs a lot of improvement through recruiting and take what you've got right now and make it serviceable. Because I don't think anyone's expecting this defense to be, you know, top half of the league or anything, but can you just improve on the poor performance they have been the last 2 years?
Because you do have lesser players on that side of the football. If you look at the offense and defense, I think it's pretty obvious which unit has more NFL caliber players. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that they have the same level and as many NFL caliber players as an LSU, as an Alabama, but the offense looks to at least have some more than the defense. And then if you look at what the defense has been under Barry Odom, he's consistently had guys that weren't highly recruited, whether it's three stars or two stars or four, but not as many four stars. And that's going to be a similar position that he has in Arkansas, where he's not playing with the Alabama, the LSU, the Georgia, the Florida's talent. He's going to have to make do with what he can get at Arkansas, which is fine as long as it translates to what's on the field.
So we're going to find out this year whether it was John Chavis's fault that the defense was horrendous or whether it was just a lack of talent. I guess we're probably going to, my guess would be it's going to be somewhere in the middle is what the conclusion will be. I expect the defense to be better under Odom, but not markedly better. That there's all these great athletes running around that were miscoached last year. But that's been the argument that, well, Chavis doesn't know how to coach football, and that's why the defense was so bad. I've been of the argument you need more talent. I think the reality is there was probably some of both going on.
Got a text in from the 479 asking how many first-round defensive linemen has Barry Odom coached. Don't have the answer offhand, but I will say that really secondary, I think, has been more of a strength. Not to say that he hasn't had success with linebackers and defensive linemen, but he's also helping Sam Carter out with the secondary. So this is a unit that I think that he's really specialized in and that you've seen success over the years, not only in Missouri, but Memphis as well.
Clay will be with us here in about 20 minutes or so. And I think one point I can get Clay to talk about, because he has a great friendship with Lewis Campbell, who we had on the show about a month or so ago when we were at Gaston's. Lewis coordinated defenses a lot from the secondary position. That's where he played. That's where he was comfortable in coaching. I think it's an interesting spot for the coordinator to be, because you just in practice and the way you view the field, the way things set up from the safety spot, which is actually where Barry Odom's going to be coaching his safeties and Cooper's going to have the corners. I think that perspective from the secondary is interesting for the coordinator to be individually coaching that position.
Evan Fayetteville texted and he said, the pulling of a D coordinator that's been in the SEC for a long time is an argument that kind of died with Chavis, correct? And I've said, and I've been on the record saying this, I thought John Chavis was over the hill. And you can attest that I actually said that, right? I was on the record of saying
that. Well, there's a lot of people in the
record about that. But like, it was one of those.
But just because you're older doesn't make you unable to do the job.
And that's 100%. No. But I said,
if that's the case, then Nick Saban needs to go.
Yeah, and I said time and time again, I was like, this guy, I don't think, and you watch his Texas A&M, his defenses deteriorate from where he was previously at LSU. It just wasn't the same type of unit. And I think that also tied in with the fact that you were running more of an up-tempo. I know that Chad Morris's offense was an up-tempo, but I think in Barry Odom's case, I think that you're going to see, I don't know how much more of improvement, but I definitely think you're going to see improvement. I don't think it's died, just like that argument that, oh, you're pulling an SEC guy. I don't think that argument's died, because I still think it's very valuable that you pull in a coach that has vast experience in this conference, especially as a former head coach.
But for the argument that you and a lot of people made, that the reason the defense was bad was Chavis and him being over the hill, then if that was the only issue, this defense should make a remarkable turnaround this year.
What's remarkable, though?
Well, being the top half of the league. If Chavis was the only thing standing in the way. I've been to the argument, I don't think Chavis transitioned from being able to defend run-first offenses, or the spread, the way the spread, his defense never caught up to the spread. But at Arkansas, it was about talent, man. It was about the roster he was coaching. And at some point, I mean, what do you do when you're the coach and you just don't have players that have the speed and the ability against SEC offenses?
Wasn't that partially also on John Chavis to get those guys
partially in here? But he was here 2 years. I mean, how can you transform recruiting really with one class? Because the first class, they didn't get a whole lot done. I mean,
the offense did.
The offense did?
The offense got a lot of guys in there. Not to say it translate on the field.
No, exactly. I mean, I'm talking about the on-the-field turnaround, you know? That's one of the things with an offensive-minded head coach, and we saw this with Petrino. Where are the best athletes particularly going to end up? If they could be a corner or a wide receiver, where are they going to end up usually?
On offense?
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know that was the reason why defense has been so poor, but I don't think this was a two-year turnaround for this defense. It was in a bad way. So
what?
Chad Morris was known. You were coming as an offensive player. You were coming to a offensive-minded head coach, you know. So I don't know. We're going to find out. So I just think there's a lot of work to do in building a roster for Barry Odom to have the
kind of
defense
you want. So what kind of turnaround are you expecting?
I'm not expecting much of a turnaround this year. Maybe a few spots higher. I hope they can coach them up better than that. I don't have high expectations that this defense. I think Arkansas is going to have to win games in shootouts this year.
You were 124th last year in scoring defense, giving up 37 points per game. That's the worst in the SEC, and it's the worst in the Power Five. So,
I mean, is this roster on the defensive side markedly better?
And you added Xavier Kelly, you added Levi Draper, and you added Jerry Jacobs in that as far as grad transfers, and then you picked up some Julian Coates of JUCO and then other high school kids. So, I mean, surely it's going to be better than that. Sure, it's going to be better than
the worst.
Well,
you can't get any damn worse. You're 124th. How many schools are there? 130? How the hell are you going to get worse?
They can always get worse.
You're already sixth from the bottom or whatever it is. Already last in the league, you can't get any worse.
So does that show, like, if they do get better, does that show, like, that this thing's going to get better as far as the defense is concerned?
I expect it. Well, I'm just saying it's about players. That's my point. It's as much about getting players. Now, coaches are responsible for getting players in here, mm-hmm. right? Coaches are responsible for recruiting players. My point is, you can't just lay all of this at the feet of John Chavis is over the hill, and that's why the defense sucked. Well, if that's what you believe 100%, then this defense should be markedly better. 60th in the country or something like that this year in scoring defense. And I don't think that's going to happen, and I don't think you think that's going to happen.
And I think that's fair, but you always talk about you're only as good as your next job. When you wind up as the Tulane defensive coordinator, doesn't that say something about where John Chavis is at this point in his career?
Clearly, he hasn't evolved. I'm not defending Chavis. I'm just saying it's not all about just the guy in the coordinator position. That not always just plugging in a Barry Odom is going to magically fix everything. My point is, this will take time to improve the situation through recruiting. I think they have made some improvements. I don't think they've had enough time to make enough.
And I'll agree with
That's
you.
That's my point is this wasn't all about just inept coaching the last 2 years, mm-hmm. and that was the only reason they couldn't stop other teams. If that's the case, if that's what you really believe, then this year should be noticeably different on defense, and I don't think it will be.
And I'm agreeing with you there, but let me ask you this. Do you think if Barry Odom was the defensive coordinator last year that they would be, again, the worst scoring defense in Power 5, the worst in the SEC in 124th?
No. But how much better? That's my point.
That's the key.
How much better?
Yeah. No, that's fair.
Yeah, okay, 124 to 100. Whoop-de-doo. 14th to 13th in the SEC. Whoop-de-doo. You know, I'm looking for recruits. I'm looking for coaches that can get players in here and coaches that can develop players to take you from 14th in the league to 7th in the league, 8th in the league. I don't expect – Arkansas is not going to have the number one defense in this league anytime soon. Not expecting that. Can you at least be well within the top 10? You may not be in the top 5 or 6, but my God, you can't be last in every defensive statistical category.
And you mentioned getting players in here. One of the important aspects of that is recruiting, and it's the Barry Odom, the fact that he's been able to get some guys in the Missouri area, St. Louis up there. He's got ties to Oklahoma. That's where he's born. Sam Pittman and him have that connection. We'll get a chance to talk with him about that coming up. Texas, all that kind of surrounding area that Arkansas really needs to hit on, because the high school talent in this state is not sufficient enough to build a Division I defense and a good Division I defense. So he's going to be able to have to go over to get a couple different players into the surrounding states that are important hotspots for Arkansas football recruiting.
There are some. There's just not enough. There are some good players that come out of Arkansas, and you know, we watched Sosa Aguim the last 4 years develop into an NFL type talent, and you know, he's an Arkansas product. You just got to have more of those guys, and the problem is there's not a Sosa Aguim out there every year in this state.
Yeah, that was a five-star. So he was a five-star. Darius Winston was a five-star. Darren McFadden was a five-star. I'm missing one in the last 20 years. I'm trying to think. I know those three specifically. Darius Winston didn't pan out like many thought he would.
Mitch Mustain.
Mitch Mustain's another one. It's four.
I don't know.
And when Georgia and Florida and other states produce one or two or three every single year.
Josh Frazier from Springdale, he went to Bama. I think he was a four-star.
Yeah, he wasn't a five-star. So that, I mean, that just goes to show you where you are as far as in-state recruiting is compared to other.
But there's only, keep in mind, there's only about 25 stars a year in the country. So it's not like there's 100 of these guys. There's, I mean, that's why they're five stars. By definition, there should only be a handful to begin with, right? So there's generally somewhere in that number. It's a small number. Mm-hmm. So the odds of any state, I mean, a state this size, the odds of you having more than one is very slim, and having one is pretty slim.
Yeah, it doesn't happen that often. So Ben Cleveland got a text in from Siegley and Danville. He was not a five-star. Didn't make a great play. It's 86 days out from Arkansas football. Posted that up yesterday. But yeah, he was not a five-star. Another thing that Barry Odom brings to the table is head coaching experience. And this is important because you have a first-time head coach at the Division I level, at the SEC level, in the SEC Western Division, in Sam Pittman. And so these walks that we'll get into Barry Odom with about are very important for him and Coach Pittman, because there's going to be some things that Pittman just, as a first-time head coach, just like doesn't, and he wants advice. Now, there's some things he's going to go about it his way. He doesn't want Barry's advice. He doesn't want Kendall's advice. He's just going to do it how he wants to do it. But this is very important moving forward as he transitions fully to that head coaching role.
You mentioned these walks. Do you think Barry is having to speed Coach Pittman up, or is he having to gear down?
I would guess speed.
How close
him up
to a jog are these? Is the pace of these walks?
I think Pittman told us when he came on the show about a month or so ago that Barry was the one that was faster, and sometimes he would have to slow down. And he was joking with us that if this walking and yeah, these salads don't start working, that he was going to have to get him a Popeye's chicken sandwich.
If I don't start seeing results soon, I'm going to be in that drive-thru over at Popeye's. So, get one of them sandwiches.
Yeah, which is pretty good. But that was entertaining for sure.
So, yeah, it would be interesting if it would probably not be as interesting as we think it would be to eavesdrop in on their conversation on these walks. There's probably some football talk, some scheduling, and just administrative type talk. There's probably a lot of talk about other things too that you wouldn't think would be on the agenda. So sometimes you do these just to get away, get a break, get a mental recess from everything.
Yeah, just and they're a good cool thing about Fayetteville. Hopefully, they're not walking up like Cleveland Hill or whatever. But it's nice to walk around campus, and the fact that he does have that relationship with Pittman, where he can give him advice, they can have these conversations, is going to be very important for the tenure of Sam Pittman at Arkansas.
I have just one question for you. Are you ready?
I'm ready for this my whole life.
Welcome to the most incredible 2 hours of your life. Here he is, the Clay Henry.
Clay, what's on the weekend agenda, man?
You know, I'm just kind of chilling. I mean, it's there's not a lot of plans. I've got a dinner with some of my wife's. She's road tripping. She's going to spend Fayetteville with our oldest daughter. So that means that I'm inviting some of my fly time buddies over tonight. I'm going to grill some steaks. Mm. Just chilling. I mean, the water's too high to fish. Might get out on the lake a little bit. I've done interviews this week with football players, which we can get into some of that. So I've got some stories to write. We're starting our football preview. My staff has interviewed, I think we've interviewed 9 guys. So
I'll tell you,
in the editing copy, just chilling.
You're batching this weekend? So Is that right?
Just Friday night.
Just Friday. Probably, okay.
Gene Ann doesn't stay gone long.
All right. I'll say Saturday. I'll be back up in the neighborhood, so you know we could. You could come over and we could open another one of them bottles of wine. And
man, it's a shame I'm missing out on that.
My brother's going to be there. We get out on the lake. We go out on the lake and tell more stories.
We can do that
and talk crap about Ty. You know, we could do that. So shame watch the sunset. Can, my favorite thing to do.
You got your pontoon boat. We got ours.
Yep.
We can tie up next to your boat.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's do it. So and then we'll just tell stories about Ty.
You know, like a floating party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A flotilla. We'll have a flotilla.
Stop.
Yeah. Yacht club.
Yeah. Yacht club.
The Norfolk Yacht Club.
Baxter County Yacht
Club. Yeah. And we definitely will talk about Ty.
Yes, absolutely.
And the whole reason.
Yeah.
And Jenkins. Jeez, at least. Yeah.
Jenkins, you can't go because you're so big you would hit your head on the awning, you know, the roof. You can't go.
He's a tall fella.
Oh, but... So you got y'all's weekends planned. I'll be at the lake as well. So
I'm moving furniture back in place. If you'd love to come with me and help me move.
You know what?
Clay helped move it out of place. I've already got scheduled. I'm trying to recruit help to move furniture back in place.
Unfortunately, so. I've already got plans. So as much fun as that would sound, just won't be able to make it.
All right. Well, sorry. Don't say you weren't invited.
I was invited, so I'll give you that. Clay, we were talking about Barry Odom this past segment and kind of all the attributes, the different things, the different ideas, schemes he brings to Arkansas. When you hear that question, what Barry Odom brings, what's the first thing that pops in your mind?
Yeah, veteran knowledge, just the ability to put together a system. And it's not one thing. It's the ability to dissect and analyze what the other team does well and take that away. I mean, I just think he's a really good defensive coordinator, and he's a good position coach. But more than any of that, I think Arkansas through the years had done really well under Frank Broyles and Ken Hatfield of recruiting Missouri, and they just hadn't done that in the last 15 years. I don't think Houston Nutt did it really well, and Petrino didn't. I mean, they were involved with some players and they tried, but they didn't close on Missouri guys. And what you look at Barry Odom's resume, you know, he was a recruiting coordinator under Gary Pinkel. He has always had success in signing players. And immediately upon him landed at Arkansas with Brad Davis and Sam Carter, Michael Shearer's on their staff, who's a great linebacker under Odom. You know, Odom coached him. You know, he's quality control, but I mean the ties that they have in recruiting in Missouri, and immediately they flip some players, and they just have unbelievable contacts in the St. Louis and Kansas City area, and then throughout Missouri in recruiting, and that's to me huge. And we know you can't do it with just Arkansas players, but that part of the footprint. And then you look at the Missouri staff, and they're kind of skinny on, you know, it's a whole new group, and they're trying to regain, you know, some of those, you know, recruiting footholds. But I just think that you're going to see Arkansas land three or four players from Missouri every year that are SEC caliber, top end Division I players that can help this program.
I know you and Lewis Campbell spend a lot of time on the White River together, and I'm sure at some point the conversation of coordinating a defense, which Lewis has a lot of experience at, from the back end being in the secondary. That's where Barry's going to coach. He's going to coach the safeties. I know you and I have talked about this in the past, and Barry being back there gives a different viewpoint. I know you've heard that from Lewis before about having that perspective, coaching from the secondary and being able to see kind of everything back there in practice.
Yeah, Paul Rhodes told me the same thing, and I have a lot of respect for Paul. I just think they were just so void of speed at that point. And I, you know, that was the thing this class that Barry added, you know, I think they signed 15 defensive players, and all of them can run. But, yeah, being able to have that view. Now, Barry's coached linebackers and coordinated the defense, and he's coached safeties and you know, run the defense. So I don't think that really matters to him. But their ability to what they could hire as a staff determine that, okay, we've got a corner, we've got a defensive line coach, we've got a linebacker coach in Ryan Rhodes. So I'll coach the safeties. And it didn't matter to him. And I think that the coordinator with the safeties and what you do and the combination of looks, him be able to handle those guys. In other words, be in the meeting room with them. The safety area of the Arkansas defense, to me, is now, yeah, they lack difference makers up front in the defensive line, but where I thought Arkansas really, really struggled against spread teams was their safety play. And being able to play combination defenses and change up coverages and bring pressures from the safety area and play nickelbacks, that's where I think they've hurt, and that's where I think, I heard the last 30 minutes, but that's where I think Barry's going to help this team.
Yeah, and with him coaching that part of the unit, I know that Sam Carter is doing most of that, but he's also going to be there, and I know that Sam's going to take over for the majority of the secondary players when he has to focus on another unit, but he has had a track record of success with the secondary players, whether it's cornerbacks, whether it's safety, so hopefully that improves this upcoming season.
Paul, I felt like I needed a guy on my staff that had been a head coach and one that I could lean on and talk to, and there's really not a better person out there and a finer coach, finer man than Barry Odom, and I'm just blessed he's in his car coming down here.
Hey, this is Barry Odom, Arkansas defensive coordinator. You're listening to The Morning Rush.
Welcome back into The Morning Rush. Our next guest, Arkansas defensive coordinator Barry Odom, now joins us here on The Morning Rush. Coach, good morning. Appreciate the time. I'm reading this article. You used to wear Brian Bosworth's hairdos back in the day. You got any pics of those lying around that we can get the Razorback football Twitter account to post out?
Good morning. I'm glad to be with you guys. We'll change the topic there. Years ago, I grew up where we did in Oklahoma, and at that time, he was kind of the guy I followed. I played that position. I think everybody around that area of Oklahoma usually either wanted to be quarterback like Jamel Holloway or linebacker like Brian Bosworth. The teams that followed, the people that followed Oklahoma. Wasn't soon after that I really started following the Razorbacks close in geographic region. I got rid of about all those pictures that I could find, the old Polaroids. I got rid of a bunch of them.
I remember
I know where the remaining two or three are, and I've got them in my possession.
Under lock and key.
When Arkansas played Oklahoma in the Orange Bowl in 86, I mean, Bosworth was the man. He was the guy every kid wanted to be like.
That's right. I worked with James Shebus when we were at Memphis together, and she would tell the story. He was the leading receiver in Arkansas history when he graduated college. So I learned I knew about a number of things Razorback history-wise, but I learned a lot more when I worked alongside him there for 3 years at Memphis.
You go back to your high school days. I knew you had gotten injured a couple times, but you've been through 6 knee surgeries. When you're talking with players today, how do you use your past experiences in talking with them through injuries?
We all learn through our experiences, good and bad. And if there's something that I can help out because I've been through that before, more than anything, you want to listen and then provide any amount of information that you can to help them out. But also understanding that injuries happen. And more than anything, I think people forget that when a student athlete is injured, there's more of a mental recovery than maybe a physical recovery, because they go in, from being maybe the starter or a guy that contributes a lot to, and that's taken away from them. And then their schedule changes completely. The time that is spent now on the practice field, you're in the training room. So more than anything, this working through that side of it, because the way that science and sports medicine are today and the technologies that are in place, with any of those surgeries. I mean, there's going to be a recovery, and it's going to be fast, and it's going to be done as good as it can be done. And those things are so far ahead now than what they were 25 years ago. But the mental aspect of that, of recovering from an injury, I think I've spent more time on that probably in the last 10 years or so on working to make sure mentally that they're in the right spot and they continue to progress like they need through the physical rehab part, but also the mental side of recovering from an injury. I think it's just as important as the physical recovery.
Coach, I remember my senior year, I tore my ACL playing basketball. I tried to get it back out there. I couldn't. I know Deshaun Watson, and there's been other players football-wise that have played through a torn ACL. How are you able to grit through that?
I tore my ACL at the end of my freshman year in high school and didn't get it fixed. So I played my entire high school career with, you know, sophomore, junior, senior year without, you know, with it still injured. I had, you know, a really good rehab plan on the muscle structure was solid enough that the knee was stable. You know, there were times that I wore a brace with that, but also had really good, you know, team doctors and an ortho guy that we trusted that knew that we could make it through, and fortunate was able to do that. And then I had the first ACL surgery right after track season, my senior season.
You have a unique perspective. Head coach at Missouri last year, you're let go there. Your final game was a win against Arkansas. Any thought ever crossed your mind? I'm sure there was no reason to believe the next game you were going to coach would be from the other sideline when you were in the middle of that game a year ago.
That's kind of an odd, you know, you look at, you know, controlled timing and the way things happen on some of those things, but quick turnaround on competing against a team and then, you know, 3 weeks later you're walking in and meeting your new team. So that's strange, or it was at the time, but also so glad and excited and fortunate to be able to be at a spot like Arkansas with Coach Pittman. And like we mentioned early, you know, I've always followed this program and university and have strong ties here from where I grew up, but also the great tradition and history of the Razorback program. I'm honored to be here, and the outpouring of the people sets this place apart. You know, I think when we walked into that game at War Memorial, you know, we were trying to get bowl eligible with a sixth win. You know, and know that Arkansas had gone through changes there towards the end. The kids played hard. And what an environment that can be. You know, I've seen it before. And you know, I walked away from that game, even though, you know, that we won the game, I had a lot of respect for Arkansas. And I gained even more that day because the way that the kids competed, the way that the crowd was into it. And so I'm excited to be here and be part of this deal.
We know you had some connections with Brad Davis, who's coaching offensive line. Can you give us some details or walk us through how you constructed the staff on the defensive side and how you and Coach Pittman worked together to put your defensive staff together?
Well, I think Coach deserves a lot of credit for the staff that he put together. I mean, he went out and got really the guys that he targeted, and he got in. He can speak, you know, a lot more detail on this, but he decided, you know, how he was going to build the staff and the type of guys that he wanted here, type of teachers and mentors and leaders that he wanted, and he went out and got them. And I think, you know, that says a lot about him, because there's so many people that wanted to work for Coach Pittman because of the type of person he is. But also says a lot about our administration on making sure that he had the resources to be able to go get that done. And, you know, when you've got an athletic director and administrative team that's in line with the coach, you know, great things can happen. And I'm really excited about the staff that we've got here. We've got a lot of experience. Derek LeBlanc was in the conference the last couple of years at Kentucky, and I thought he had those guys playing up front as good as anybody, and really excited about what he can do with our group. Ryan Rhodes was the head junior college coach for the last 13 years, got a lot of experience on the defensive side of the ball. And then Sam Carter is coaching our corners. He and I have been together the last 5 years. So, you know, we're speaking the same language the day we walk in the door, and we worked really well together. And I'm excited that Coach was able to put this staff together, and you know, it's an honor to be a part of it.
Arkansas defensive coordinator Barry Odom with us on the Morning Rush. Coach, you mentioned Sam Pittman. You've been on the record saying you tried to hire Sam Pittman when you were at Mizzou. You guys have had a long-standing relationship. And one of the unique things that you guys do is you guys go on walks together. So what's the latest thing you guys have been talking about on these little excursions, Coach?
Well, I think more than anything, we try to branch away from. Now, the pace is so fast, it's hard to keep great conversation. I mean, we're moving around. We've passed people here in the last couple of days. Our pace is so fast.
It's really more than a walk, isn't it? It's more of a jog.
Well, people that have really trained, you know, they're on a mission training for some great marathon coming up, I'm sure, and we're just blowing by them. So, you know, it's hard to have great, you know, long conversations. They're so focused on the pace of the walk. But there's been discussion the last, you know, couple of days on what our the summer schedule, you know, exactly when that's going to, you know, go into play, exactly what it's going to look like, you know, plan A, B, C, and D, kind of how involved are we going to be able to get late in the year with our guys, you know, really what that looks like, you know, the best case for our team on building what we need to do to be successful. And and then we've also branched out and talked about getting away from the office, on the weekends or the time that we've got away, and all the great things about Northwest Arkansas and the town of Fayetteville.
When you were at Mizzou, the Tigers weren't a 14-year bowl drought, and then you guys get there and you end up going to two bowls at your time there. What were some of the biggest reasons that you were able to get and help your team to back-to-back bowl games after a long drought?
For a long number of years, as you mentioned, that they hadn't been, and Larry Smith was our head coach during my 4 years there, and what a great coach and leader he was, and a great motivator. We were able to run the ball on offense in a time in the Big 12 conference that, you know, it still was at that time. It was a run heavy league, and you know, he recruited guys that fit in the system on what he wanted to do. We played, you know, we had some really good players on the defensive line, which helped us defensively. And I think more than anything, there was a belief instilled through the process of what it takes to be a winner. And that doesn't happen on, you know, once the calendar hits September. It happens from every waking moment of the habits that you form, that collectively we were so close as a team. You know, really my sophomore and junior year, just the makeup of our team, everybody had clear direction on what their job was, what their responsibilities were, and we embraced that. And, you know, we had a level of toughness to our team, both mentally and physically, and then we had some good players sprinkled in there. But, you know, I think that staff was so impactful to my life on, you know, getting into coaching and then the ways that, you know, you can have success on the foundational approach of playing football and what it takes, your habits aligning with what the big picture is and the daily steps that you try to take to get there. And Larry did such a great job on always having a pulse of the team on what we needed to hear, and maybe, you know, push a little more or pull off a little bit. But man, he was he had a great relationship with our team, and just had so much respect for the way that he ran our program.
Arkansas defensive coordinator Barry Odom with us here on the Morning Rush. Normally, if we're talking to a coordinator this time of the year, we're talking about personnel and depth chart and where things will be ready for fall camp to begin. I want to ask you about your personnel and your guys. I don't even know where to begin with maybe other than how's Dorian Gerald's neck doing and that artery strain.
Number one, you go and rely a lot on what I saw in the weight room. Mm-hmm. in January and February and a little bit of March. There were some things that we were able to do in our morning workout program to see guys in the, you know, change of direction and, you know, playing with leverage and throughout the drills that we had set up in the weight room in some of those sessions. So you got a little bit of feel for what guys do with their speed, with their explosion, some of those things. And I think, you know, Jamil Walker, our head strength coach, and Coach Ellis, you know, they put together a plan that physically they transformed our team from the time we started in January until we cut loose in March, you know, as drastic and dramatic as maybe as I've ever seen. Those guys are really, really good. So a lot of credit to them on, you know, building the foundation of our program through the weight room. And just able to see, you know, I think we do – in areas. I think we've got really good team speed. Now, that I want to caution with that statement that that doesn't mean that anything other than we've got the ability to run fast in areas. But if you don't know what you're doing defensively through what your scheme is, then your speed is null and void, right? So we've got to be great teachers. And the times that we've had with them, we've installed so many things defensively. Obviously, we haven't seen them do any of it yet, but one of the things I respect about our team is they're hungry. They're hungry for knowledge. They're excited about the opportunity that we have in front of us. And everything that we've rolled out for them and asked them to do, they've done it. And they've done it in great ways together as a team. And we've had guys that have stepped up their leadership, you know, mostly through example and you know, some vocal. But I'm excited about getting them on the field and see the amount of information that we've given them, how much they can retain, and then when the ball snap, how they go apply it. So I'm excited about the position battles that we're going to have, how that's going to play out. You know, and it's our job to make sure we get the right 11 in the right spots where they can go play fast. And if your habits align with the way that they're supposed to, then you develop confidence, and then you can go play with your speed and your true skills that you've been blessed with.
You're going to coordinate the defense, obviously, but you're also going to coach the secondary. Give us your perspective on how those two things maybe go together as a positive, where you can coordinate the defense from the back end and just that view from back there. I've heard other coaches talk about it's the best spot for a coordinator to coach a position on that side of the ball because you kind of see everything back there.
Well, I've coached the linebackers and I've coached the safeties, different spots that I've been. This fit our staff best for me. On the back end, but also I've got Sam Carter, who is coaching our corners, but also I'm okay with Coach Carter taking the back end if I need to go up and have some eyes on the D-line or linebackers. And I think Coach LeBlanc and Coach Rhodes are terrific and are outstanding at what they do, but there's also times I think the coordinator needs to have the ability to have his eyes in a couple different spots. So I've got the luxury of having a great staff that I trust, and I know that they're going to have their team and their position playing at their best. So, I feel comfortable being able to leave a period with the secondary and go over and work with the linebackers a little bit or the defensive line, just assist in that area as well. So, I think it's the match and mix of how your staff is put together. We've had a lot of time to spend together in meetings on how practice structure is going to look, how we're going to look schematically, and I'm just excited to go put some of it in action.
Coach, let me top off the interview with this. You were let go by your alma mater, Mizzou. How motivated are you right now to prove them wrong at Arkansas?
You know, everybody uses motivation in different ways, and I've got plenty of motivation for me to lead this team, for them to have success. And I want nothing more than for me to be able to give my team, my guys, a platform to be successful and in every area of their life. And I want them, for them and myself together, you know, I challenge them. We've got a blank sheet of paper in front of us. We get to write our story together. It's us and not anybody else. And I want us to be able to be in position where we're playing with great confidence, we're playing fast, we're playing together, and we're playing as a team on September 5th. And I want us to be our best that day. And then whatever happens on that day, let's learn from it. Let's make corrections the way we need to, and then try to be a little bit better the next week. And then when whatever opportunity, there's so few and far between that you get, the opportunities that we get, take advantage of them, continue to build the things that we are foundationally as a program and as a unit. But everybody, for me, my motivation is a lot of different ways to look at it. I know what we did at Missouri. I feel really good about the way that I ran the program. I feel I've got relationships with the guys I recruited there over the last 4 or 5 years, relationships that I have with them. They're going to last forever. And I know I helped make an impact on their life, and they did the same for me. I know this. I'm a lot better coach right now, and June the 10th or 11th, whatever it is, than I was 6 months ago. And I think that's what you always do, is you are vulnerable enough to look in the mirror and find ways to make yourself better in every area. And that's what I continue to do. And every year has been the same. You always find a way to get a little bit better in certain areas and figure out, you don't have all the answers. You know, don't pretend it. Let's work and learn as much as you can, and then find a way to be a great teacher and apply it for your kids.
85 days out from that first opportunity, the first Razorback game of the 2020 season. Arkansas defensive coordinator Barry Odom with us. Coach, really appreciate you making some time for us.
You bet, guys. Again, I respect the job you do, and thanks for taking time to visit with me this morning.
He's going a little bit right to left.
Mallett has a wide open man. It's Childs. He's loose. He scores. Childs, please. Touchdown. Arkansas leads.
The Childs, please phrase is a phrase that Dave Pasch coined, and many people have really, like when you hear the Childs, please, that's, you know, that play as an Arkansas fan. Going down to Georgia, beating Aaron Murray and company in 2010 in Athens between the hedges. What a win that was for the Arkansas Razorbacks, and really kind of set the tone for what was going to be a solid 2010 season.
Play, they were done until that play. I mean, they were beaten. That saved them. So.
Yeah, that is. That was a great play. I remember the game he had at Florida, too. And, you know, he just a terrific player. And I guess maybe it was as a sophomore I went out was watching the team run. And I guess they were running bleachers at Razorback Stadium. And he had his shirt off. And I mean, he's like 6'5", 220 with a six-pack. And the most impressive physical specimen that I can ever remember. I mean, it's just, he's just knew that he was going to be a great pro. It just didn't work out for whatever reason. I guess injuries or, you know, whatever, knee problems. But he was a terrific Razorback.
Yeah, you mentioned what happened in 2011. His knee injury, like, really deterred his career. Like, he was not the same player since. Jerry has talked about how Greg was really more the go-to guy in 2010, and then after that injury, he became more the go-to guy in 2011. He's one of those guys, Clay, that you wonder what could have happened with his career at the professional level if he would have stayed healthy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he looked like an NFL player. I mean, I think it was maybe Paul Petrino was coaching the wide receivers, and it was soon after he got to campus, and I was talking about Joe Adams this, Joe Adams that, and he goes, hey, he said, this Giles guy, he may be better than Joe Adams. And I, you know, it's hard to say, you know, who was the, you know, the better player. They all were good. They it was just a variety of skill sets with all those three wide receivers.
With the addition
just
of Kobe.
A lot of fun to watch, and yeah, and I think Paul Petrino he pulled out the media guide and says, these are the, you know, here's our top 10 wide receiver group, you know, in yards and receptions. And he said, these guys, they're going to replace all of these guys, you know, the players on this team. He said, we're going to wipe out all these records. He said, just trust me, that's how good these guys are. And that's partly how, you know, good his brother was at drawing up plays for him. But yeah, it happened. If you go look at the record books now, that's where all those guys are in the top 10.
No, and what a time. What we'd all give to go back to that kind of football that we all enjoyed back in those days.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Bud Light Seltzer, 5% ABV and only 100 calories. We'd put it up against any other seltzer out there.